Hello, this is Richard Davis, welcoming you to At Home This Morning, our magazine programme for older listeners, which we hope will also be of interest to the not-so-old. You won't be surprised to hear that this programme is being recorded under lockdown conditions, which means that rather than getting our interviewees into the studio, we're talking to them over the internet, using a programme known as Zoom. This means, of course, that the sound quality may not be up to our normal studio standards, but we hope that won't spoil your enjoyment. Anyhow, be that as it may, let me tell you what's coming up. We're starting with talking to Southern Water about a scheme they have called the Priority Services Register, which ensures that people who can't afford to lose their water supply are always given priority when there are any problems. Then I'll be talking to one of the people who's providing the telephone befriending service run by Age UK, and also getting an update from the original telephone befrienders, the Samaritans. And finally, we'll be finding out how people who are not familiar with computers and the internet can improve their knowledge and discover the advantages of being online. As usual, I'll be giving out various telephone numbers, email addresses and website addresses during the course of the programme, so you may like to have a pencil and paper handy so that you can write them down. OK, let's get started by hearing about the Southern Water Priority Services Register. I recently received an email from Southern Water telling me about it. It's something that I didn't know about before, but apparently it's a scheme whereby you can register yourself with Southern Water as a priority customer, somebody whose water supply is more urgent than other people, or who may need a little extra help. Apparently you can register if you have physical or mental health challenges, a medical condition which requires a constant supply of water, difficulty communicating, or if you have a child under five, or indeed if you have reached pensionable age, which I should imagine covers a lot of the listeners to this programme. It certainly covers me. To find out more about it, I contacted Southern Water and spoke to Rachel Ryan Crisp. And I began by asking her how long the scheme had been running for.
It's been operating for many years. I couldn't tell you exactly how many, but certainly well over 5 years. And it's simply a way that allows us to identify those of our customers that need a little bit more assistance. That might be in the event of a water supply outage, for example. We know who to prioritise for delivering bottled water. But it also means in our day-to-day contact, we can recognise any additional needs. For example, if a customer needs large print bills, or if the customer has mental health challenges, just needs a little bit more understanding from the agents dealing with their account.
You've decided to give the scheme more priority because of the current lockdown.
Absolutely. It's more important now than ever that we can identify those customers that do need our help should anything happen, particularly to their water supplies or their wastewater supplies. So that's why we're really campaigning to get people to register if they do qualify.
So what sort of people do you deal with on the scheme?
It's a very broad church. It can range from those who require constant supplies of water for medical conditions, for example, those on dialysis, those with life-limiting medical conditions, those with mental health challenges, whether that's stress, anxiety, dementia, or anything that impacts their ability to carry out their life on a day-to-day basis. But we do also support those of pensionable age and also families with children under the age of five. And then there's customers who might have physical health difficulties, so they're not so mobile for one reason or another. Those who are hard of hearing, those who are partially sighted or blind. It really is. Anybody just needs any little additional help that we can give them.
And is there any charge for the scheme?
Absolutely not. It's completely free.
Now, I hadn't heard about it, although I'm in my 70s, but I received an email from you just recently telling me about the scheme, which is how I came to know about it. Are you making the push to get more people to register?
We absolutely are. We've taken the relatively extraordinary step of emailing out to all of our customers that we have an email address for over about a 3-week period, just to try and encourage people to let us know that they need this help by registering for the priority services. It's large numbers of emails, around about 52,000-53,000 a day, just to try and reach out and prompt people, because we recognise that the numbers of people we currently have on the priority services register is nowhere near representative of those in our region that we know would require some additional help. So we're really keen to make sure that people are registering. And also, they can now register friends and family if somebody is particularly concerned about a loved one, and they can register on their behalf.
It requires people to actually come to you and say, I'd like to register for the scheme. You don't go to them and ask them if you think they happen to be deserving of the extra service, but they haven't actually asked for it.
We do try as much as we can to reach out proactively to those people we think would qualify, particularly if people call up to our call centre. And agents have been trained to identify things that people might say that might suggest that there is some additional need there, so that they can try and have that conversation with the customer. In promotional terms, we could probably do more to try and reach out to those customers who need it. But, you know, it's really quite difficult to find the best way to really make this resonate with people like yourself who hadn't heard of it before.
Yes, it shows I should read all my correspondence thoroughly. What extra services does the scheme actually provide?
The headline one, if you like, is the bottled water delivered to your house in the event of a water supply outage. So you don't need to worry if your water does go out. We'll be there with bottled water for you. And then for those who are partially sighted, then again, there's bills in large print, in braille, in audio. Apart from that, then the other sort of areas, so mental health, physical health, it's more about us providing a sympathetic and understanding service. For example, if we know that somebody has mobility issues, then if our engineers, for whatever reason, need to knock on that person's door, then they can just be a little understanding, allow a little more time for somebody to get to the door and answer it. If we know that somebody's got dementia, for example, and is on the phone to an agent and keeps requiring things to be repeated again and again and again, then the agent can be sympathetic and understanding because they know the customer's circumstance. It really does allow us to look after customers a lot better according to their needs.
You mentioned providing the bills in large print or braille. Obviously, that's for the blind or partially sighted people. Do you do anything for the deaf and hard of hearing?
We do have a Minicom service available, although, to be honest, I think I've been at Southern Water now for over 2 years, and I think we've only ever had about two or three calls through to that particular service. So I'm not sure that it's really meeting the need of our hard of hearing colleagues and customers. So at the moment, it's something that I want to look into in terms of what more we could do in that space. But at least if there's the indication that somebody is hard of hearing on the account, then when agents are speaking to that customer, they can at least make more of an effort to speak clearly and slowly and loudly so that customers have more of a chance of hearing them.
Okay, it sounds very comprehensive, and I'm glad that I've heard of it, although I don't need it yet, but you never know, do you?
Well, exactly. You never know when you might want to start registering for it. We encourage people to really think about it if they do think that they do require the service.
Okay, so how do people go about registering?
They can register online. If they go to our website, they can quite easily find where to register online. It's quite a simple form to fill in. They can contact our main call centre. The phone number, again, is on the website. Also, if somebody is on web chat on our website, then they can ask to be registered on the Priority Services Register through that.
OK, Rachel, I'm very pleased to have heard about the service, and I hope that some of our listeners will be able to benefit from it as well. Rachel O'Ryan Crisp, thanks very much.
Pleasure's mine. Look after yourself now.
And you. Bye. I've been talking to Rachel Ryan Crisp, the vulnerability lead at Southern Water, about their priority services register, which people who have special needs, including older people, can apply to join. You can find out more from their website, which is at www.southernwater, that's typed all as one word with no spaces, .co.uk, / individual-needs. That's www.southernwater.co.uk/individual-needs. Or you can phone them on 0800 027 0800. That's 0800 027 0800. Now, one local organisation which has adapted the way it's worked in response to the coronavirus pandemic is Age UK Brighton and Hove, which, since it amalgamated with Age UK West Sussex, is actually now known as Age UK West Sussex Brighton and Hove. As we heard in a previous programme, they're now offering information and advice, plus doorstep deliveries of shopping, emergency welfare and safety support for the most vulnerable, as well as telephone befriending and well-being advice. What they refer to as telephone befriending is one of their staff phoning somebody up at home for a chat in order to make them feel less isolated. And I recently spoke to Cara Basagian, who's one of the people who's providing this service. I began by asking Cara how she came to be involved.
Well, I've worked with elderly people off and on for many years in different environments, and I've just found that working with the elderly was something I really enjoyed doing. And this job as an activity worker came up in the Haywards Heath Age UK Centre, and I went along for it and I just really loved the place. I just loved the whole environment and the buzz of the place. It felt very alive. And people that worked there were a really great team. And the members also just seemed to be having the time of their lives. And I thought, I really, really want this job. And luckily I got it. So I was an activity worker. I've been there for about 2 years, running activities and just mixing with the members and just trying to engage with them and get them to do more and be more active.
But since the lockdown started, you presumably haven't been able to do that. So you're doing something else instead?
Yes. Unfortunately, when the centres had to close, which was a really sad time for us all, because we know how much the members really enjoy coming to the centres, in the lead up to knowing that was going to happen, we started to prepare and put the staff into different teams so that there would be a team that would phone members and elderly people in the community. There'd be a team that would go and do shopping for them and collect prescriptions and things like that. There would be a team to cook meals and be a sort of a base for the community to have boxes of food and all that sort of thing. And then there would be befriending service, the shopping and the activities arm of it, where people would be able to take puzzles, games, books and things like that to people who needed something to do. So I was put into a team of befrienders. And so I'm working from home, and a lot of us can do this, which is really fortunate. Each day I get sent a list of names and numbers, and I just sort of plough my way through those. So then I'm phoning people. That's the whole job that I do. So it's chatting to people, checking in with them. A lot of these names will have come up through people phoning up Age UK and saying, we need someone to talk to our mother or whatever. Or there would be people we've highlighted ourselves that we know that come to the centres that will be needing extra support during times like this. People that haven't got any family or people who have lost a partner and they're very isolated already. So we were already sort of alerted to the fact that people would be needing a lot more support from us, albeit in a different way, in an outreaching way.
So have you come across any people that you've met in person whilst doing this job?
I have actually, yes. So sometimes, although we're in a team and we're just given numbers each day of priority, some of those will be members that we know, which has been really nice. In fact, I've got one person that I'm phoning almost every day who really needs a lot of support. And I do know her situation, and we've had lots of chats in the past, and I know her quite well. And I know that she's getting a lot from having contact with somebody that she already knows and trusts, more importantly. So, yeah, the trust element is something you have to be quite aware of when you're phoning people out of the blue that don't know you, that maybe they haven't had much contact with Age UK for a while, and you say, I'm phoning from Age UK, and they're suddenly a little bit suspicious. But once you start chatting to them, they realise that actually you're just there to be a friend, to be a friendly ear, and to help them if they need it.
And does this service of phoning people up at home and having a chat to them go on all the time? I rather got the impression it was something that had been set up specially for the present coronavirus emergency.
This particular thing, befriending calls, is particular to this time. But in normal times, when we haven't got this virus going on, before this all happened, Age UK has a huge sort of gamut of services. So there's an information and advice helpline, which is open from Monday to Friday, 9 till 2 o'clock. And that's a free phone line. And if you phone then, you can be put through to all the different services that are provided.
Well, what sort of people do you talk to on these calls?
Well, it's interesting, actually, because if you say the elderly, then that's, you have a sort of a picture in your mind of what that person might be. But actually, Age UK is there for people over 50. So you qualify to be a member if you're over 50. So that's a very large range of people, firstly, just in age, but also every person will have a story of their own and will have had an interesting life, especially the ones who are more elderly, because they've lived obviously longer and they have more to talk about. So it's a very interesting thing, and it's quite a humbling thing talking to different people, because you don't know them and they don't know you generally, and you're getting quite an insight into their life. With the elderly, they tend to be quite stoic. So most of them will say, I'm fine, I'm okay. But then when you start saying, well, what about this and what about that? They will start to tell you more. And it's interesting, because that age group don't want to burden people, and they think that they're burdening you by telling you things. But actually what they really need to do is to tell you how they're feeling. They tell you what their worries are, which might seem trivial to some people. But actually, as people get older, and if they live on their own, and if they've been doing that for a long time, the little things each day that happen in their life are incredibly important to them. So you have to be very open-minded and be a good listener, I'd say, because a lot of the time you're just doing a lot of listening, although sometimes you can prompt them and you might ask a question and then lots of other things might come from that. But it's always very interesting when you start talking to someone, because everyone's got something to say and they will have different opinions and views, and they have a different family situation. Obviously, a lot of people I talk to live on their own, and quite a lot of those have lost a partner. And that's obviously quite a tough thing to be going through at the moment, because what's coming to light week by week is that anything that's going on in their life normally has been highlighted by this situation. So if they're already feeling lonely, this is much, much worse for them. And it's amazing how just having a friendly ear at the end of the phone, somebody saying, oh, well, I'll phone you next week and we'll have another chat, actually that's something for them to look forward to.
Yes, especially if they live alone, as you say. How many people do you tend to talk to in the course of a day?
I suppose on average, because I work mornings at the moment. So it's probably about, on average, about 20 maybe.
So they're quite short calls then?
They vary. Some might be quite short, or I might be given a list of names and then maybe five of them might not be answering that day. So I'll have to then phone them the next day. It's such a variable, because some conversations will be quite long. And if somebody really needs to offload and get stuff off their chest, I'm not going to stop them and say, look, I need to phone someone else. I will let them do that, because that's what I'm there for. And some people will be quite matter of fact and say, oh, I'm fine, and I've done this and I've done that, and I've got my shopping and I'm sorted here and I'm sorted there and blah, blah, blah. So they might not be that chatty that day. So you never know. You've got to be quite flexible in how you're going to deal with it.
And how do you tend to feel at the end of a call?
I think it depends on how the call's been, because it can be quite an intense thing. I try to make myself feel quite good before I start the calls. So I'll do some exercise and be in a nice positive frame of mind before I start my calls. It really depends. If I'm having a fairly good day myself, I might feel fine at the end of each call, but then I might get a call where somebody's really struggling, for instance, with mental health issues and things like that. And I might feel very upset for them. And sometimes I might feel quite sad. Or sometimes I might feel quite perked up because somebody's being really positive in the face of adversity. And I think, gosh, it's amazing how people cope in times like this. There's a whole range of emotions, I'd say. If you've had a whole morning where you've had several calls which have been quite intense and the person's been quite depressed, you can feel a little bit drained at the end of the morning.
Is there any way you can get support yourself in that situation?
Well, we work as a team, and all the names that I've been sent that morning, I will feed back to my leader so they'll know everything that's been going on that morning. And they're always prepared to have a chat and have a listen, or would you like to not have to phone that person, or you know, they're very good. So I can get support from them. Generally, I don't really feel the need for that. I'm quite a buoyant person, so generally I'll just go and have a nice walk around the village that I live in and come back and feel absolutely fine. And that was just one of those mornings. But yeah, there's support there if I want.
But generally you feel satisfied in what you're doing?
I definitely feel that it's very rewarding. I would say it's quite a privilege. It's quite humbling. And in some small way, you've made quite a big difference to that person's day, if not week.
So if people would like to make use of the service, that is to have somebody to phone them on a regular basis for a chat, what should they do about it?
At the moment, there's a centralised number. If they phone that number, they'll get through to our headquarters. And from there, whatever service they're looking for will be filtered through to the right department. So the centralised number is 01903 731 800. That's for befriending calls, that's for meals delivered to their door, so they can get meals delivered, that's for shopping services or collecting prescriptions, or just for a chat, if they want to just phone up for a chat, or for the befriending, or if they're a bit at a loose end and they need books, games and puzzles, we can also deliver some of those as well.
It sounds as if you're doing a really good job there, Cara. So all out of your elbow, as they say. Thanks for talking to me.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
I've been speaking to Cara Basagian, who's one of the people who's providing the telephone befriending service for Age UK Brighton and Hove. As she said, if you'd like to take advantage of this service, or indeed any of the other services that Age UK are providing during the coronavirus pandemic, you should phone them on 01903 731 800. That's 01903 731 800. And you can find out more information from their website, which is at www.ageuk.org.uk/Brighton and Hove. That's www.ageuk.org.uk/Brighton and Hove. And the Brighton and Hove there is typed all as one word with no spaces. We haven't quite finished with Age UK yet, because we've just received a press release from them detailing another service that they're now able to provide. Here's Maya Davis to read it.
As coronavirus restrictions continue to affect people's income, Age UK West Sussex Brighton and Hove is urging older people with financial worries to call its helpline for advice. Expert advisers can help with information on a wide range of issues, including money worries, welfare benefits, housing needs, social care and isolation. The benefits advice given by the charity has supported people in claiming more than £5 million in extra benefits last year alone. Helen Rice, Chief Executive at Age UK West Sussex Brighton and Hove, said, "Many older people are really suffering at the moment. They're not only dealing with the isolation of lockdown, but are also incredibly worried about their finances. Some have lost their income and can't afford basics like food, electricity and their rent. Anyone over 50 can give us a call for personalised advice. We can give practical help and check that you're getting the support you're entitled to. I want people to know they don't have to suffer in silence or face this alone. We're here for you." The Age UK West Sussex Brighton and Hove information and advice team can help with the queries above, and also issues like finding help at home, care planning, finding leisure and social activities, advice for carers, family and personal matters, and most things that affect quality of life. The information and advice team at Age UK West Sussex Brighton and Hove are available from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Their phone number is 0800 019 1310. Alternatively, you can email them information@ageukwestsussex.org.uk, and Age UK West Sussex is all one word and all lowercase.
Thanks, Maya. Maya Davis was reading a press release from Age UK about the new advisory service they're offering for people who are having financial difficulties due to the coronavirus pandemic. I'll just repeat the contact details she gave. The phone number is 01903 731 800. And that's available between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Alternatively, you can email them at information@ageukwestsussex.org.uk. Well, of course, the original telephone helpline service was started by the Samaritans, and they're still going. But like most of us, their work has been affected by the coronavirus lockdown. When the emergency first started, Maya Davis spoke to Susie McGowan, the director of the Brighton Hove and District Samaritans, to ask her how she thought the service would be affected. Well, to find out what has actually happened, Maya got in touch with Susie again, this time by Zoom. And this is how the conversation went.
Well, hello, Susie, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us again. Now, the last time I saw you, just after lockdown was declared, you emphasised that Samaritans would be running a normal telephone and email service, but unfortunately, people couldn't come and visit the centre anymore. Is that still the case?
Yes, sadly, that's still the case. Because of social distancing, it's really it's impossible to have face-to-face interviews at the moment, which is a great shame. We do keep it under review, but at the moment we can't do it.
So what's the national picture regarding the frequency and the types of calls? Are you getting more calls?
We've had a very interesting picture. Certainly immediately after lockdown, we found that we were getting a great many more calls overnight and perhaps rather fewer in the day. And there has been some speculation that this may be because of people locked down who perhaps had less privacy during the day to make calls. I think overall, the numbers of calls are the same or slightly higher. I can say that almost all of the calls, even if it's not the main reason for calling, do mention COVID-19. It's in everybody's mind, as you would expect.
So it's very much the same picture as all the other organisations, is it?
I think so. I think that a lot of other charities and organisations have got a very similar picture, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, unlike a lot of other organisations, Samaritan volunteers don't take calls at home, do they? They all have to come to the centre. Has that posed challenges?
Yes, it certainly has. It means that we've had to be very careful of the safety of our volunteers. We've risk assessed how safe the centre is. We've made sure that we have a very rigorous cleaning regime, and that we've made sure that volunteers don't overlap so that there's minimal chances of transmission. So we're trying to keep people as safe as we can.
And I assume that volunteers represent the normal sort of age range and types of the population. So have you been affected by the restrictions placed on volunteers who are older, in their 70s perhaps, or regarded as vulnerable for some other reason?
Yes, that has affected us. I think in Brighton we've got quite a wide age range, but we do have volunteers who are in their 70s, and obviously they can't come in. It means that the number of people who are available to answer the phones is smaller than usual. But we are still managing to fill our rota, so we're still there to help people. But yes, it at times it can be a struggle.
I remember a few years ago I was in a U3A talk, and the volunteer who came said that normally the phone would be answered after 3 or 4 rings. Now, I've just seen the really useful video you put out in the community, and there the phone seems to be ringing for rather longer. Was that deliberate? Does it reflect maybe a longer time taken to answer calls?
Yes, it is deliberate. It is true that all branches are running a slightly reduced service, and that means that there is a longer wait for the phones to be answered. So the phone won't be picked up within 3 rings, but it will be answered. So please be patient.
And does that mean emails take longer to get answered as well?
We're still trying to keep to our email commitment to reply within 12 hours.
Okay, so let's hope everybody can do that. How do the volunteers feel about the change in their role and their ability to support people at the moment?
The volunteers are amazing. They are so determined to carry on to support people as much as they can, which is why we're able to fill our rota. They are a lot of volunteers are doing a great deal. Volunteers who are at home are also doing quite a lot in different ways. They're supporting in different ways. And overall, the will of volunteers to be there to help people is astonishing.
And do they feel safe when they come into the centre? You said you had a detailed cleaning regime.
Yes, I think they feel very safe, actually. I think the feedback I've had is that people are telling me it's the safest place in Brighton, which is very good to hear.
Oh, that's lovely. I think we'll end on that really positive note. Thank you very much indeed, Susie.
Thank you, Maya.
Maya Davis was talking to the director of the Brighton Hove and District Samaritans, Susie McGowan. And just to remind you, if you need to contact the Samaritans, you can phone them on 116 123. That's 116 123, which is a free number, and it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, throughout the year. Now, throughout this edition of At Home This Morning, I've been mentioning the fact that all the interviews in this programme have been conducted using a computer application called Zoom, which is something that's certainly come into its own in the last few weeks. Pretty well everybody's using it, including the BBC. And during this period of lockdown and social isolation, the internet has been serving a very valuable purpose of providing a way of us all keeping in touch with our friends and relations and getting entertainment, buying goods online, and generally trying to keep things as normal as possible. But what if you're one of the people who hasn't got access to the internet, doesn't have a computer, and wouldn't know how to use it if you had? Well, there are various organisations around designed to help you. You may remember, if you heard the last edition of At Home This Morning, that I spoke to Helen Milner of an organisation called the Good Things Foundation, whose aim is to help everyone to discover the usefulness of computers and to get themselves online and familiar with how things are done there. Helen mentioned a local group in Brighton and Hove, which is called Digital Brighton and Hove. And this week, I've been speaking to one of the people behind it, David Skerr, to ask him for more details. And this interview, once again, was conducted using Zoom. When I spoke to David, I began by asking him to tell us what Digital Brighton and Hove is.
Digital Brighton and Hove is a citywide partnership which brings together the city council, the voluntary and community sector, and also private sector, working together to try and create a more digitally confident city. So the way we're doing that is we're trying to help everyone out there in the community to access the benefits of the internet, to make sure that they can get connected and that they can enjoy the benefits of being online and access essential public services, which a lot of them are now online. And we're also helping organizations and the local community organizations out there, ensuring that they're providing digital services that can be accessed by everyone. So we're working with service users directly in terms of giving them some support, but also working with those organizations that are now having to deliver services online. So we're making sure that they're helping them to think about how to best do that and how to make sure that those digital services are fully inclusive and can be accessed by everyone.
And this is everyone from the complete beginner up to somebody who's rather more skilled, presumably.
Exactly, yeah. And there's a strong link between people that are socially excluded and people that are digitally excluded. So our focus is really on trying to help those that are at risk of being left behind, if you like, by the fact that so many services are now primarily accessible exclusively online. So identifying who those groups are and then finding different ways of supporting them. So like you say, from people that are totally offline, so would not have a device, a tablet, a smartphone or a laptop, and wouldn't have a connection, wouldn't be able to connect to Wi-Fi even if they had a device, to some of those that have maybe started using a new device but aren't really confident and don't feel they have the right sort of level of understanding or skills to use it in the best way possible. So that's the kind of main groups that we'd be looking at supporting, hence why we're also working with and through the services that are already supporting them in some capacity and trying to help them feel better equipped as organizations and as service providers to provide that kind of support and to be aware of the barriers that these service users might encounter, barriers to accessing services online, and then raising awareness of the benefits of obviously accessing those services.
How long has the organization been in existence?
For about 4 years now, with different levels of engagement. The partnership has grown. We started with a few key organizations really starting to engage with these issues, and we've now got over 300 local organizations across Brighton and Hove engaging and getting a better understanding of the importance and value of designing services that can be really used by everyone. So thinking of helping your end service user, but also thinking of how we're all now needing to design services that are accessible. And that's not always been a given. And a lot of services still aren't fully accessible. So there's a growing appetite, if you like. And I think the issue recently with COVID-19 has gained significance because of the fact that a lot of those that are now in self-isolation or practicing shielding are those that are also at risk of being digitally excluded. Those that are most at risk of coronavirus are also those that are most at risk of not being online, if you like.
Yes, I should imagine the present emergency has increased your workload quite a bit.
It really has, yeah. There's been a huge increase in terms of emergency need and response, focusing specifically on the most vulnerable groups, if you like, those that are needing to stay at home and shielding, but also still need to be accessing essential services and are left with the risk of being really isolated if they're not able to access some of that information and some of those services online.
So what are you actually doing for these people?
We're doing a range of things. It's very difficult to support digitally excluded people at this time because we can't do it face-to-face anymore and people can't access devices or Wi-Fi connection in libraries or in other spaces. So we're having to rethink about how we can provide that sort of remote support. So we're looking at phone support. We're tapping into our pool of volunteer digital champions. So volunteers that are usually helping people out in the community to get online face-to-face. We're looking at how we can do that through phone support, through screen sharing, like we're using Zoom now for this interview, so how we can use those sort of communication tools to help people remotely, as well as other digital means to carry on providing that remote digital support. We're also getting tablets out to those with no devices, mainly through emergency COVID-19 funds. For instance, we delivered some a couple of weeks ago in some of the sheltered housing schemes across the city, where we've done a lot of work in the past already helping some of those tenants. So we're trying to help them in different ways. One thing is getting a device and a connection out to these people. Another thing is then ensuring that they have the right support, the sort of wraparound support to help them feel confident in using it. And it's very hard to do that remotely. So we're working with specialist partners like AbilityNet, for instance, which is an organization which specializes in supporting older people and disabled people to use technology in normal times. Obviously, they've got a skilled team of volunteers who are able to offer free one-to-one remote support for anyone who needs help to get online during the pandemic. So it could be setting up a new device, keeping in touch with family, setting up an online shop, thinking about online security. And they're opening that sort of service to everyone. So there's a national helpline that people can call. And I'll share the number maybe at the end of this interview. And we also have our own small team of volunteers who are offering remote support. And again, your listeners can call the helpline that we've set up and get help from one of our friendly volunteer digital champions. And then the last thing we're doing is we're putting together a number of resources, videos, we're running webinars, free online courses, so that people that are online and are motivated to learn more have got all that in one place. And we've got a dedicated COVID-19 digital resource page on our sort of digital Brighton and Hove website. So lots of different things.
Quite a lot to achieve.
A lot to achieve. And thankfully, there are COVID-19 emergency funds, which we're starting to access, which are really helping us to boost some of the capacity, you know, so we can really start providing more and better support out there.
So to sum up, really, what you're able to do is to advise people on how to use digital resources and in some cases actually supply the equipment, although that's a fairly small part of the work, I would imagine, because it would cost quite a lot more than just giving advice.
It's true. We've got a small number of devices. We're starting small. We need to ensure that if we are getting tablets out to the most vulnerable groups that we mentioned earlier, let's say those that are receiving an NHS letter saying they need to stay at home or they need to be practicing shielding. I think there's about just around 4,000 of those letters have gone out in Brighton and Hove.
How do people get in touch with you?
Well, I think the first thing we should share is a phone number for your listeners that aren't online and might just want to have a chat about how we can help them. We've got a helpline and they can call us on 0747 594 6084. And through that number, they can access some help from one of our volunteer digital champions. And if there's no answer, they can leave a message with their name, phone number, and the kind of support they need, and we'll make sure someone calls them back as soon as possible. And then I also mentioned the helpline provided by AbilityNet, and that's an 0800 number. They can call and get some support through the following number, 0800 048 7642. And they'll again be able to get some remote support and some kind of tech support, if you like, from their volunteers. And then I mentioned some useful resources and videos and free online courses on our webpage. So for those listeners that have got access to a device and Wi-Fi or the internet, they can go to www.digitalbrightonandhove.org.uk. And on that homepage, there's a COVID-19 banner and they can press the find some help and it will take you to a dedicated COVID-19 page with a number of resources which will be helpful for extra support online, some guides, some tech guides, some free online courses, and a range of other resources.
And are they able to contact you and actually request being given some equipment?
Yes, on this online page, if they are able to access this web page, there's some information about how to express interest in the tablet loan scheme that we're rolling out. And they can just fill in a quick form and then we'll receive that at our end and we can get in touch with them. And then we've also got a number of useful frequently asked questions, different tips and pointers about how you can get hold of cheap, good value equipment. Same with getting access to Wi-Fi and different ways of doing that. It's not just through a network provider. You might be able to have a SIM card or a MiFi box or a dongle. And there's some good packages out there. So a little bit of guidance for them if they're not sure where to start. And then if they need more information, they can call then our phone number and talk in more detail about some of the options.
It all sounds very comprehensive. And you're obviously doing a very good job there, David. Thank you very much for taking time off from your, what I know is a very busy schedule at the moment, to speak to us.
Well, thanks a lot, Richard. Thanks for inviting me on again to your program. And just want to really encourage your listeners who may have some doubts and reservations about getting online to just give us a call and to reach out to us, because we are there to help. So hopefully that will encourage them to contact us and get that support.
Let's hope so. Thanks very much, David.
Thank you very much, Richard.
I've been talking to David Skerr of Digital Brighton and Hove, and I'll just repeat the contact details that he gave. Their website is at www.digitalbrightonandhove.org.uk, and Digital Brighton and Hove is typed all as one word with no spaces. Their phone number is 0747 594 6084. And the AbilityNet helpline is on 0800 048 7642. Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of At Home This Morning. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed everything that you've heard. There'll be another edition in a fortnight's time, and that'll be presented by Chris English. And I'll be back with you in 4 weeks. All that remains for me now is to wish you all the very best. Goodbye.
At Home This Morning is a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb.